And welcome to Tech Radio. And in the moment, it's been a wild ride this week on the internet, from the FCC action to Facebook woes. We've got New Year's predictions and holiday gifts to discuss, plus your calls, texts, and emails, and Facebook posts. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions to inthemoment@sdpb.org or send us a text, 956-SDPB, that's 956-7372. You can email your suggestions to our guests today. We have Mac Guru Joel Brovelight and Lemonly's John T. Meyer. That email address again, inthemoment@sdpb.org. We'll hear from the panelists and you after this news.
Support for Reporting on Technology and Innovation comes from Juna Sleep System. Personalize your mattress. More information at junasleep.com.
And welcome to the December 15th edition of In the Moment Tech Radio. I'm your host, Kent Osborne. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today, answer your questions. In the studios of KCSD, actually not in the studios, on the phone today is Mac Guru Joel Brovelight. Hello, Joel.
Hey, how you doing?
It's a good December day to you.
Indeed.
And also on the line is Lemonly's John T. Meyer. Hello, John. Getting all your Christmas gift-giving and shopping taken care of, I take it?
I think I got the gifts. I got the purchasing done. Now I'm in that wrapping phase, which is probably the hardest phase for me. But we're getting close.
Awesome. Well, folks at home, you ask the questions and we provide the answers. If you're a Facebook aficionado, that page is simply facebook.com/techradio. You may post your questions or comments there. Don't be shy. If you're a Twitter user, that's @KentSDPB. The email address is inthemoment@sdpb.org. And of course, you can shoot us a text. That's 956-SDPB, 956-7372. Well, gentlemen, did either of you watch any of the proceedings yesterday from the Federal Communications Commission?
I did not.
I just listened to the news. So, yeah.
I took in the part until they took a break for security reasons, and then I tuned out for a while. But I'll tell you the experience. To tell you the difference here for me, the experience between passively watching that hearing on a television, like on a live TV feed, versus online with a chat window going on the side with a bunch of people that obviously are heavy users of the internet, is a very entertaining thing. The public reaction on that live feed was strong. Let me just use the words strong. So obviously, you know, every time one of the commissioners said something that nobody agreed with, it was more than a mild reaction, and people were actually incensed by a lot of what was said. I don't think we're going to get into the details today, other than to say, to nobody's surprise, it was the net neutrality regulations that were put in place were repealed, and boy, it's going to be a. I think there's going to be a fight. I think there's going to be a court fight, not only with some localities, some states are already threatening to put in their own versions of net neutrality. This is going to be really messy. So I'm not sure when this is going to. If we're going to get this all sorted out, even in the new year. If we're doing tech predictions today, I'm not sure this is even going to get straightened out in 2018.
No, I don't. I think you're right about that. Sorry to jump over you, John. I'll get out of your way.
No, you go. You go.
I think you're totally right about that. There's already been several lawsuits filed by lots of different parties. It's a pretty big deal, and yeah, and it's definitely not going to get sorted out this year. So, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
All right.
I think it's getting closer to a finish line than we've been. We've been talking about it for a while. But I also think what that finish line looks like is pretty murky, right? I think there's going to be back and forth. I think we don't fully know. I mean, we've talked about it on the show, and I think most of us on the show are aligned with being supporters of net neutrality. But, you know, with the repeal, with still what that looks like and what that means, and people saying nothing's going to change and whether we believe that or not. I think that part is still very gray.
I did link up an article to a Wired magazine article on some of the what they consider. I'll just use the word fibs from what they heard yesterday. It's a good read if you're interested in it. Again, we're not going to really get into it into the nitty gritties today, but other than just to say that it was repealed. But there's a pretty good read. It's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. You can also use that page to communicate with us today if you have any questions or you have any comments. That's one conduit to us today. Another is to shoot us a text, 956-STPB. That's 956-7372. Well, speaking of tech predictions, there's been a lot of reading to do on the internet. Let's start talking about some of those. What's your big one, Joel? You got any predictions for 2018? What's going to happen? Perhaps with Apple products, is home going to take off? Or not home, but the HomePod.
Yeah, they've delayed that, and it was supposed to be released about now, and I think they're just trying to perfect it. You know, I mean, I think they're going to sell lots of the units. What you're talking about is basically Apple's answer to the Amazon Echo or the Google Home device. But in Apple's case, it's also a kind of a multimedia speaker, high quality audio. So. You know, I definitely think everything is going that direction. Now you're seeing people who don't even really use computers buying these devices because they're so useful. So I think we're going to see more competition in that market and more things being used that way. So, yeah.
What's your thought on the price point on that versus the Amazon products?
I'd have to hear it first. You know, it's a big...
Is there one? Is there a price yet?
I think the price is supposed to be $349, about $350. But I guess I'll have to hear it first because I think it's supposed to be first and foremost an audio device. So if that's true and the audio is really great, then and the price point's just probably about right. If it just is a glorified Amazon Echo, then it's probably, you know, it's way too expensive. So I guess we'll have to see. It's an Apple product, so that'll definitely garner lots of people. I doubt they'll make a small version because basically their small version of everything is their phone or any other device, the Apple TV, things like that. So hard to tell. I think we'll also see a big Siri update with that too.
Yeah, in looking at it, the specs out pretty nice. I mean, it seems to have a more full range kind of speakers built into it. We'll have to see what it is, and it's gonna have to be. Boy,
I think that audio kind of in-home space is really interesting because you have, you know, all the expected players. So you have Amazon, which is like basically subsidizing the product, selling it probably at a loss. I think you can get an Echo for $29 this holiday season. You know, because they just want more people to be using it and on the platform and in the ecosystem. And then you have Google Home, which I've been seeing a lot of ads lately. I've heard, Google has checkered past maybe in hardware, but I've heard like that the Google Assistant or Google AI, whatever that's called, is pretty unique, pretty interesting. And then of course Apple, which is kind of late in the weeds so far in this space, but is starting to enter the market. And I think everyone's jockeying for that position. But it's funny to call audio a trend in 2018 because it's like, wait a minute, we're on the radio here. We've been doing radio for for decades. But it's because of phones, because of mobile devices and people dishing their laptops and being cordless and moving, audio has become basically audio is going to replace the keyboard actually. And that's what we're slowly seeing.
And you mean, like with searching and things like that on web searches?
Yeah, I guess when I say audio, I shouldn't say voice, both. I like to say audio and I think of it as more of a marketer, and because we're thinking at Lemonly, okay, we're visual storytelling today in 2017, but what does, maybe we're just storytelling in the future, and that means both visuals, but also video, audio, all those different platforms. But yeah, so search. So you no longer would type in like Mexican restaurant in downtown Sioux Falls. You would type in, you would say it. You'd say, hey Siri, hey Alexa, hey Google, right? Is that what you say for that one? You just talk to it, and then you get those results back.
Are you trying to make all those devices in everybody's living room go off right now?
I forgot that that's happened before.
So I apologize to those of you listening at home with those devices. It was not, but yeah, that's the idea. The keyboard, the way we message, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, I mean, the Apple's gotten the iPhone down to no buttons now, right? And isn't the 10 not even have the home button?
There is no home button on the iPhone 10. That is correct.
So there's no buttons, you know, anymore other than...
Yeah, like, I wanted to get in here about Apple's product that I should have mentioned. The big difference is audio, but one of the changes compared to the other devices is they're really trying to invade Sonos's sphere of influence, making it kind of the wireless speaker. So if you have a couple of these devices, you can set them up as basically a sound system. You could have, theoretically, you could have a 5.1 system set up with just these devices, which would be kind of expensive, but basically they're like Sonos and the Echo put together. So that could definitely get, you know, some audio files or semi-audio files interested as well. I should have mentioned that.
Sure. Back to what John was saying, I have seen that prediction, and I think it was a Gartner paper that was talking about many websites will be redesigned in 2018 for that visual and voice search. So we're going to start seeing that on websites as well. I suppose not only the mobile versions of websites, but on actual, you know, www, you know, websites that are traditionally meant to be seen by computers and things. So that's going to be a shift for some of us older folks. Not only to have to redesign them, but then to have to use them.
If you're listening to the show right now and you maintain a website, whether it be your personal business, the job you work at, your side hustle, a hobby, whatever it is, and you don't have a mobile responsive version of your website, like, that's something you got to get going now. I mean, we're not talking about a prediction. That's the past. And you have, on average, everyone's different businesses or different industries vary, but about 50% at least is pretty good generic estimate of traffic comes from a mobile device, and that's obviously only going to go up. So think about that's one version of considering the way content will be formatted today and in the future.
Did you have some AR predictions as well, John?
Yeah, we talked about AR a little bit, I think, 2 weeks ago. And we both, we really got into VR, I think it was 2 weeks ago on the show. And, you know, I think as a consensus, we all shot it down as still being a little bit far away and really just being applied, I think, in the gaming industry at this point. But I do think AR is something that's closer. I think we're in a really great place here in South Dakota because we can see what's going on in the coast and the trends and everyone's saying what's going to be the next big thing. But I think we have a very good sense of in touch of reality and the average kind of consumer in America. And AR, and certainly VR is far away, but AR's got a little bit of taste because now I think something like Pokemon Go was a really great introduction for what's possible there. And now I think it's the same company is making a Harry Potter version of basically the same game where your real life and the real world you live in can also be intertwined and layered on this Hogwarts kind of magical world. And so the more that we can find relevant uses, that still starts with gaming or more interest, more hobbies, but whether it be medical or, you know, directions, you're seeing like cars start to put, you know, roadmaps or almost like the driving directions kind of in the mirror. I think that's really interesting. And so that's something I have hope for where AR will go. It just needs to become more useful. Right now it's been a little bit more of a flashy thing versus an actual utility.
Are you thinking of any uses for, let's say, local businesses in Sioux Falls or in the region? Is there an AR or a VR component going forward to help, well, basically to drive business or help make money or further entertain customers or get excited about brands?
In downtown Sioux Falls for a while, I think it was Folk Hazard architecture firm that did this. They had these little frames set up in downtown Sioux Falls on Phillips Avenue, and they had QR codes. And basically, they want you'd stop and look at an old building or some sort of architecture in Sioux Falls and scan this QR code and then get the history of that building when it was created and you know, what it's called and all those things. It was a little bit cumbersome, right? You got the phone out, you got to scan the QR code. QR codes never really arrived. But I think that could be some sort of cool utility to AR. Imagine walking up to a restaurant before you even walk in and kind of commit to, you know, go to the front to the hostess and decide to sit down. You can put your phone over it and see the menu or photos or the, like, basically the same type of content you'd get on Yelp or reviews, and get it right there. And so I think we're maybe still not aligned with a universal operating system or what that's going to look like, but that's a use case that I could see in the future.
Hmm. Is 2018 going to be the year that cryptocurrencies are going to finally, I don't want to use the word legitimize, but finally reach that awareness level and, you know, being able to be useful for something for most people? I think that's going to be the case. Is it going to take a year?
I mean, I think we're, I saw some sort of Google search on just the, you know, the frequency of the word being typed into Google, right? And that gives you a pretty solid pulse of where people see a trend.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to google.com/trends and type in that word.
Oh.
But I think, yeah, I think we're already there. We're headed there. We're still on the upward curve of the adoption. Now, we talked 2 weeks ago about what that means and the individual coins versus blockchain technology. And I think you're going to hear a lot about it in 2018 and really trying to figure out what it means for beyond just Bitcoin and the store of asset, like Bitcoin being compared to gold and essentially is what it is right now. I don't know if we're going to say mainstream yet in 18, because I think the technology and the distributed ledger and blockchain is still, we have people that need to learn about it, figure it out still, but I don't think it's going away. Right now you're seeing it in the newspaper every day. I expect it maybe even cool a little bit, but to become more just mainstream, like a part of the financial news, a part of the stock conversations and where the market's headed. So yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's even sustainable, the amount of energy it takes, natural resources and other resources it takes to mine Bitcoin or to put those blockchains together. It just seems crazy that's even sustainable, but we'll see.
Great point. Yeah, I think that's a great point, and something that is actually not necessarily understood, that, you know, the computing power and energy it takes. You're reading these stories about people who you know, don't pay their heating bill because instead they're mining Bitcoin, and I don't know if that's the type of future we want to create, right?
Yeah. So we'll have to see. I saw a little article this morning about a blockchainless cryptocurrency. So they're maybe trying to work around that a little bit or something. I'm not real sure. I'll have to do more reading on that before the next show. But we'll have to definitely see. My wife asked me the other day, what's the use of this? If we had a Bitcoin or two, you know, laying around, what can we use it for? We can't really spend it on anything. And I thought, you know, I just booked a hotel a couple weeks ago, and one of the options for payment on that was Bitcoin. So I think as people see it as an option, perhaps it will become more mainstream. Not too sure. And we should just pause for a second. John, you threw out a website earlier, and it's incredibly cool. google.com/trends.
Yep.
I didn't know about that. So while you were talking, I Googled that, or I typed it in. And it's neat. What an interesting place to go look at what's trending on that search engine.
Yeah, and you have a lot of interesting stuff right now because of end of year and kind of term, you know, most popular movies and people and things like that search. But yeah, if you ever want to get a sense of the pulse of the world, and if your industry or if your interest or if you're like, are other people thinking about this? I mean, think how often when you're curious about something, you go to google.com or you do your audio, and then, you know, take the whole world, see if people are interested about the same things that you are.
So of all the Star Wars characters that have been searched on, Darth Vader is number one by a long slide. I mean, even more than Luke Skywalker. That's Rey's is number three. We'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, interestingly enough, it's got some election things, it's got some Grammys, it's got some Star Wars, and then you just start down the news the news cycle. I even see a Vikings thing in there, Nate, number 18 on the trends of Google. So, interesting website. Thanks for sharing that with me. That's going to mean, did either of you see the movie last night? The Star Wars movie?
Of course I went, yeah.
Of course.
Did you, Joel? Of course, yes. I actually haven't missed an opening of Star Wars since the first one.
That's impressive. I mean, there are Star Wars I don't even remember.
I didn't have to wait in line for.
Really?
Because, now they're doing, reserve seats in the theaters now. So all you have to do is be quick on the internet to get your tickets, which sold out in, I think, about 10 minutes in October. So, yes, I saw it, and it's fantastic. Absolutely.
Well,
everybody loved it.
That's a good glowing recommendation, and I'll have to maybe check that out this holiday season when I have some spare time. We're going to take a quick break, perhaps ask for a little support, and come back, and we'll have more on predictions for 2018. We're going to sit down. We'll have keep Joel on the line. And John, you need to step away. We appreciate your time. It's a busy time of the year, and we recognize that. So thank you for your time today.
See you guys on the next show. Thanks
you
for
bet.
The first part.
And we'll also welcome SDPB's social media guru, Heather Benson, will be here along with Joel in the back half of In the Moment Tech Radio.
Support for Reporting on Technology and Innovation comes from Juna Sleep System. Personalize your mattress. More information at junasleep.com.
And welcome back to the back half today of In the Moment Tech Radio. We still have Joel Brovelight on the line, and joining us in the studio here in Vermilion is our social media maven, Heather Benson. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Kent. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. There was a number of things that have gone on in my Facebook feed that were troubling me this week, and I figured I felt compelled to bring you on the show today. So we're gonna talk about my Facebook woes and get into some things with that and talk about some gifts. I don't believe, Joel, we've talked about much tech buying from you. Have you done anything? Are you doing any tech gifts this year, Joel, for folks?
Well, yes, definitely getting, stuff for my daughter. She's not listening now, so probably get her a new phone, which is actually my old phone, which is, a good upgrade for her and makes it a really economical Christmas for me. So definitely doing that. And we're kind of teched out at the Brovelight house, so we don't order too many for the family, the immediate family. And I think buying tech gifts for people you don't maybe live with might be a little funny. Might get the wrong thing, but definitely I would if you've got kids on your list and maybe as a higher end present, I would highly recommend this year buy a 3D printer. They're getting down to under $200 to the $400 range, for kind of a beginner one, and they're super fun, and your kids will be able to use them. You may not be able to, but your kids will be able to. You can use them with any computer, with tablets, even with phones. They're just getting cheap enough to where, as far as STEM gifts, that's definitely the way I think people should be looking this year.
You read my mind, because I was about to throw it to Heather. My kids are a little older. Yours, you still got a youngster.
Yep, I have a five-year-old.
A five-year-old. And what's you mentioned a dinosaur, but a different dinosaur?
A little bit different kind of dinosaur. I enjoy technology, but I am by no means quite at the level of you or Joel. And so I've been noticing there's tons of coding gifts and things that are of a level of, science and technology that you didn't necessarily see in kids' gifts 5-10 years ago. And I've been a little intimidated as a parent getting this gift, because when you have a five-year-old and you get a gift that you don't know how to use, that's just an instant recipe for disaster. So we did a little test run a few weeks ago. I found a very economical little dinosaur robot that had some basic coding commands you could put into it. And we took it home. And again, I'm not a coder. I do everything I can to not learn coding so far in my life. And I was pleasantly surprised that they have found ways to make this entry-level coding fun and easy for both parents and kids. And so on my Christmas lists for nieces and nephews who are all kind of in that 5 to 10-year-old age range, they're going to be getting robots, and we're going to have some coding fun on Christmas Day because it's important to learn. I don't want my child growing up as intimidated as I was. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for kids to learn something new and still have a lot of fun.
You envisioning a year where your child or possible children redo your farm to more of a automated system for finding chickens and eggs?
That would be beautiful.
So here, Evie, let's do some. Here's a new Raspberry Pi. You know, you figure this out and let us know when the eggs are ready.
I think every farm since the beginning of time has looked at the children as the next generation of labor, and kids have always looked for a way out of labor. If she wants to do that via technology, more power to her.
That's a great analogy. So I guess I could probably find a heck of a deal on a Juicero for my kids. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Well,
seen that
that's
yet.
That's it's died now. I think it's formally gone out of business. I can probably get one cheap. That's the $400 juice maker that's Wi-Fi capable, but it's the weird thing. The reason it even became on the radar. I think we even talked about it on this show. It raised like $120 million in venture capital.
That is amazing.
And now it's gone down the tubes, or gone down the juicer, I guess is what we can say. So maybe I can pick up a deal on a $400 juicer for my kids. I'm not real sure. I have a few that would maybe like that.
But. And one thing we're doing is, you know, I'm a believer in if you can shop local, try to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a big believer in crowdsourcing a little bit of information about things that you don't have a lot of experience in. I'm not bought coding robots before.
Mm-hmm. So how did you do that?
Well, we've been doing a combo approach so far this year, which is called look it up, use your Amazon review, use your online reviews, and then go find where you can buy it local if possible. And that has been a big hit. I, over the years, have found that if there's enough reviews that are good or bad, they're probably something you can trust, or at least get a little bit of guidance in, and read the comments, read the problems people had, and it gives you a sort of a baseline of what to expect. And that doesn't mean you have to buy it on Amazon, though. If you're going to buy online, Amazon is one of the few places that pay sales tax back here to South Dakota to help our state's bottom line. But buying local, Sioux Falls has a lot of great places you can go and invest in some really unique gifts in the tech world. The hobby stores have more than train sets nowadays. The drones and things they have there are just amazing. And, of course, Best Buy, et cetera, and so on.
Mm-hmm. How many hobby stores does Sioux Falls have?
I think they're up to like 3 now that I know of. It's just amazing. That market seems to explode in the internet age, weirdly enough, with these hands-on hobbies. And if anyone's been to like the new Hobby Lobby, we went through that a couple of weeks ago. That's, in fact, where we got our little coding dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually comes into something we're doing on Dakota Life next month. Train sets, the old school, you know, Christmas gift that everyone wanted. I would say there's more for the train lover from both a tech side of it, the stuff you can put on to those trains and program them, and then just the old school where they stop and go in this track and go in that track.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old school build a landscape, the tools that they've made available to people are just amazing.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out. I was a train lover when I was a child, but it didn't love me. It always seemed to work for maybe, I don't know, most of a day, and then it would always, you know.
Well, now's your time to dive back in, Kent.
Well, I'm a little bit more interested in drones, actually. and I do have a little bit of news for you droners out there. I don't mean to drone on, but there was a repeal of the, or a stay in the, there was a blockage of the legislation that went through that you needed to register your drone, or the rule making that you needed to register it. There was a hold on that. Well, President Trump and his administration have removed that now, so it's back on. If you fly a drone now that's over 5.55 pounds and less than 55 pounds, so that's a big range, it's 0.55 to 55 pounds, you need to go to the FAA and register your drone. Cost you $5. I went through most of the process this morning. I had everything but the serial number, so I couldn't take care of it. But it's a $5 registration fee, and it's a little shopping cart they've got set up, and it's a, you know, name, address, phone number, that kind of thing, like you would normally expect. But that's a, you risk breaking a rule if you don't have your drone registered. So if you're anything more than a little maybe even a racing drone's probably less than a half a pound. Those are pretty cool. You're going to want to check. But anything beyond that, any of the larger, certainly the Phantoms and Uniques and those types of drones, if you're in that range, or even they're called UAVs. So there are others like I've seen really cool. Parrot's got it looks like a model. It's got wings like an airplane. It drives off a propeller in the back, but it's a drone that you fly, and it can go like 50 miles an hour. But so anyway, if your drone is above a half a pound, let's just say, and certainly less than 55, you're going to want to go and get that registered.
And is that the final end user? So if you give it as a gift, it'd be up to the person, or is it something you require when you buy it nowadays?
I think this is if you're using a drone, you're the operator.
Okay.
So just a little handy tip there for folks that are thinking about giving drones this year, but certainly read the reviews. I absolutely believe in that, especially because you're when you're talking with them about things like that can fall out of the air and break, you're going to want to go with a company that's got good customer service, right?
Absolutely.
So read the reviews. Check these companies you've never heard of, and because lots of other people have bought them before you, and these can be very high priced items. So do your research. There's even a drone store in Sioux Falls. And walk in and ask questions and do your homework, because it'll definitely pay off in the end.
Absolutely. So,
any other gifts to talk about, Joel? I want to move on.
Sorry about that. I had my mute on there. I was coughing there. No. I think those are all great ideas. We've said it before. If you don't know what the person wants specifically, you probably should steer clear of buying a computer, and now I would say tablet or phone. Unless you know that person very well, you kind of want to make sure that they have support and are familiar with the device. So I would probably steer clear of that. But if we're talking kids, I think drones and 3D printers, those are great calls.
Awesome. Well, we'll leave it at that. Heather, the other reason I asked you here today, I wanted to figure out what's going on in my Facebook feed. Did something happen recently? Why are these videos playing now on my devices?
Well, Facebook's made, of course, this massive investment in the last year, 2 years, into the video realm. They're looking to elevate themselves into being a competitor with what Amazon's doing on video, what Netflix is doing on video. And they also want to reap some financial rewards from that investment. And so they have probably rejiggered it, I'd say a dozen, if not more, times in the last year. And many of us may have noticed that all of a sudden our videos are autoplaying again, even those of us who have manually turned off the autoplay settings, because it eats up your data. It's annoying if you're just trying to scroll through and you're putting the kid to bed and all these videos pop up. But Facebook, in an effort to get views, if you're an advertiser or you're a video poster on Facebook, it's all about the views. It's all about the 3-second views that people actually took the time. They didn't just scroll right past it. And as they vie for our dollars, from the business standpoint, they want to increase that number. So in one of their recent updates, they took off your manual settings. Just like every once in a while, they change your privacy settings on you, and you got to go change them back.
Okay.
And so it's really, the onus is on the user. You need to pay attention to what happens in your Facebook feed, understand how your settings work and what you can all do in those settings, be it a privacy setting, be it an autoplay setting, be it how people contact you, because those don't remain static. They're a dynamic thing on Facebook, and when they want to make a change, I mean, when you sign terms and conditions and say, I agree, there's a whole slew of things they say, if we want to change this someday, we're probably going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the key is, on any social media, not just Facebook, pay attention to what's going on. And I make a point, even if I don't see something change, I go into my privacy settings probably once a week just to double check, because I don't want to have a surprise at 1 o'clock in the morning that something happened to my account.
So are more people using video on Facebook, or are they pushing those video posts on me at a higher rate?
A little bit of both. As business page owners, we're told flat out back in June, Facebook wants video. If you're not doing video, you're going to suffer. I mean, this is one of the few times where they've straight up said to business page owners, this is what we want you to do.
Is that why when I go to boost a post, it says, you sure you don't want to put a video up instead?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I get it. All right.
And that's where, if you look, a lot of these videos are coming from media companies. They're coming from your local Eagles Lodge, you know, people who are saying, Facebook wants me to do video, so I'm going to do video. And the flip side of that is when Facebook decides what's going to be in your feed, they're giving preference to that too. So if a local business has 8 posts that are just a photo and some text, but one that's video, you're more than likely going to see that video one before you see the photo and text one. And this all leads into what they're trying to figure out is going to be their next revenue maker, which is video ads. So I know a few people in our office have ended up on that list of the beta testing for video ads, where some of you may have noticed as users, you're watching a Facebook video, you're a few seconds in, and all of a sudden a commercial pops up. These little mid-roll videos, or ads they're called. Facebook has put a lot of money and effort into believing that's going to be a big revenue generator. However, what I'm seeing in the advertising world, results haven't been good. It's pretty much a death knell for a video, that people on Facebook are not like they are on YouTube, where we've all kind of gotten used to on popular videos will suffer through that 15 seconds of ads.
It's a little jarring. I mean, even though they give you a little warning that it's going to happen, it still just happens right in the middle of a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, there's no natural break like you would, you know, like a television commercial.
Yep.
You dip to black and it comes up in a Doritos commercial or whatever. It just chops that video without discretion. Well, and that's what's weird to me.
And the reason we haven't seen it rolled out further than it has is nobody's happy yet. Users aren't happy. The advertisers aren't getting their ads watched. And the people who are producing popular videos, because they are only putting them in the videos that people like to watch, aren't happy because they're seeing everyone quit watching at that point. I, as a business page user, can go in and say, wow, for some reason, everyone quit watching our video at 23 seconds in. And sure enough, that might be when that ad's popping up. And so they have a lot of work to do before that's going to become the revenue stream they want it to be.
Is that going to be... I saw, again, getting back to the Gartner, I don't know if you heard the first part of the show, we talked about some tech predictions for 2018. Gartner's talking about, the big companies continuing to make innovations, so Google's and the Facebooks and the Amazons and the Walmarts and things. And their prediction for 2018 was Facebook's fall from grace. And is this going to be one of the? I mean, there's this political reasons and one of the facts that I saw, or one of the predictions that I saw. It's not a fact, but a prediction is by 2022, a majority of, individuals in a mature economy will consume more false information than true information, and that really made me take notice and take another sip of coffee. If Facebook doesn't get the fake news thing figured out, is that going to be a reason for their demise?
I think Facebook has a couple big obstacles facing them right now. The balance that they've always had to hit between delivering an optimal user experience, so I want to come back to Facebook again and again and again throughout the day, while balancing their business interests of how do I make money off of the billions of people using this product, that's not an easy balance. There's no good solution for that. And then the other balance they have to strike is Zuckerberg doesn't want to be a, quote, media company, and yet he's a de facto media company. And at some point, they're going to have to embrace that fact fully and deal with what we have to deal with as journalists. You have to have some truth finding. You have to have some fact checking. You have to make sure what you're putting out there is true and accurate. And who at Facebook's going to be making that decision? They've tried people. They've tried algorithms. Both have had massive failures. And if they can't figure those two questions out, you'll hit a brick wall. Their stockholders expect them to keep making more money, but users expect the user experience to keep improving. And those two things don't run on parallel paths. They're going to hit each other, and it's going to be a major problem.
So either they're going to use it less because of the annoyances, or they're going to stop using it at all.
Yep. Or they're going to have to pull ads back, which will pull revenue down. I mean, if these video ads, if they're not working, if people turn off the video, people are going to quit buying the ads. And where do you end up at that point? And that's the balance. Having worked with trying to keep, you know, Facebook audiences happy for the last 10 years, it's on my level, it's a tough balance to achieve. I cannot imagine what their developers, when they're looking at all the bottom lines and the problems from a massive global user base, how you find that balance. Not to mention the fact there will be a point where we're not going to gain any more Facebook users. And so when you're not gaining new, quote, customers, you have to really innovate to keep the customers you have excited and happy about your product.
So are you predicting a smooth year for you and I and everyone else that use Facebook over 18, or is this going to be another bumpy ride?
I would imagine it's going to be a bumpy ride. They're going to have to keep throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks when it comes to fake news. And, I mean, I think they hired, what, something like 3,000 people back in August, September to start reviewing more stuff. So we brought the human element back in, and the human element is just as fallible as the algorithmic element.
I think about this time last year we were talking about the downfall of Twitter, and we haven't quite seen that yet. Is Twitter going to hang on in 18?
Well, I mean, we still haven't seen an answer for Twitter's revenue problems. Twitter doesn't make money. Twitter can't sell itself to anyone else because it doesn't make money. At some point, the buck stops, and what happens when the buck stops will be what's interesting. I mean, that's the amazing thing about, you know, Silicon Valley. They'll throw money out there for a long time at losing propositions, but eventually the money gets pulled back.
Well, yeah, interestingly enough, we'll have to see. There are other social media outlets that have made some innovations, and they're coming right along, so we'll have to see if Twitter can innovate in 18. That is all the time we have for today's show. Hey, Joel, thank you so much, sir. You have a wonderful holiday and a Merry Christmas, and pass that along to your family for me. And Heather, thanks for stepping in and giving us a little look at 18 and some great tips on gift buying. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Kent.
We'll be back in the new year with Tech Radio.